This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 568, Maps, Merch, and Mogs. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2017. That's bit.ly/ATA2017. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me I have Fandeth. How you doing there, Fan?
Hello, sir. Repeat for the win, hey? I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing okay. We also have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing okay, except, you know, I listened to the show last week, and I have a few bones to pick. First of all...
We'll get to those bones in just a second.
All right.
Shut down.
We also have with us a guest co-host, a voice we haven't heard in many moons. Hey, Ro.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been too long. When was the last time I was on the show? Like February or March or something?
Was it that recently?
I want to say it was early this year. I'd like to think I was on at least one other time this year. But either way, regardless, it's been too long. And thank you for having me back on the show. It's always good to be back in my old stomping grounds, as it were.
It's always good to have you back. So I'm not sure that you've been on this year.
Well, that's a big mistake, and that's something that we need to correct, so let's correct it tonight.
Yeah, it looks like you were on right before BlizzCon last year.
What? Really?
Well, what the heck?
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
You need to have me on the show a little more often than that, twice a year at least.
All right.
I'm done with that.
We'll try and work that out. Toasty, you had bones to pick.
Yeah, first of all, stuffing my face with turkey? Really? Yes, I've talked about this. I am not eating that double bird. No way.
Well, I didn't want to be rude or offensive by saying that we were assuming you were stuffing your face with rice. So I figured I'd go with a safe option on Thanksgiving and say turkey.
You know, I think I might have had rice, actually. That sounds about right. And there were other things I wanted to put to... there were other bones I had to pick, but that was my main one, because turkey's a devil bird. And no. Just no.
I understand. Now, Roll, I will point out you were on 3 times last year and 4 times the year before that, so...
Okay, so why not this year, huh? What's the big deal? Why the boycott this year?
Would you like to come back on in, say, November?
Sure.
Great.
We can talk post-BlizzCon stuff. It'd be great.
I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about still.
Absolutely.
All right. So, week in WoW. Who wants to go first?
I can grab that. So, this past week in WoW, what did I do? I did some raiding. We cleared Heroic Tomb of Sargeras again, which is great. I got a bunch of upgrades this time around, which I was super stoked about. Because the upgrades for me, at this point, I'm only going to get if it's Warforged or Titanforged. So the fact that I got two of them, I was pretty stoked about it. And it was actually for slots that needed replacing. I'm pretty sure I was still rocking... It was for 2 slots that I was still rocking Nighthold tier gear. So being able to replace that was welcome. And then I leveled up a DK some more because, I don't know, I just felt like leveling up a DK. It's been a long time since I've gone through that whole experience, and I kind of missed having I missed the playstyle of DK and I wanted to get back into it. Yeah. And then I put her on more of my priests, tried to gear her up. That's going decently well. I'm still running LFR on that one just because I don't want to burden my raid group with my not-so-optimal disc healing. I think that was about it. It was a pretty packed weekend for me, so not so much time in WoW as I would like. Plus, my computer kind of started yelling at me, so I need to replace parts on that. Yeah, what about you, Fan? What have you been up to?
Just curious, was there a raid on Friday, too?
There was not. We did a full clear on Tuesday. I believe some people logged out on Friday, but not enough people to attempt any of the achievement runs that we've been doing.
I was kind of busy on Friday, but I was part of the raid on Tuesday. However, I don't really think I got much gear. I don't know. I haven't played a whole lot of WoW in the past week, and to be honest, for the next month, it's probably going to be just as much, but I did get my whistle upgrade yesterday? Yeah.
Oh, I gotta work on that.
Is it Honored that you need with the... Ooh, I don't even...
Army of Light?
No, not the Army of Light, it's the other one.
Arcosine Reach.
Yeah. So I finally got that yesterday. I think yesterday. I got it this weekend anyways. And really, that's about it. Like I said, it's been pretty quiet recently for me. Definitely looking forward to BlizzCon, although one of the days of BlizzCon, I'm at a conference, so I'll probably be watching that on Monday. But I will be there for or see the Friday feed, so how about you, Medros?
I need to find more time in my life.
Isn't that everybody's problem, really?
Yeah.
We all want to play this game that we love so much, but at the same time we need to be able to afford to do it.
So I've discovered that my so far up to now not too bad plan of just using Bloods of Sargeras to feed my alts their needed order resources is running very, very low. So I need to find a better plan for getting those characters taken care of.
Will they take Pidgey candies?
If they could, I would have plenty. I have like 6,000. I catch a lot of Pidgeys in my day, man. I sit with my... Anyways, this is not Pokemon Go podcast... Not yet, anyway. So my Bloods of Sargeras quantity is going down dramatically. Yeah, really need to find a solution for that, which is probably going to mean I have to find like time to actually go around and do stuff on my alts. And actually like quest, and world quest and stuff, which annoys me.
Whoa, wait. You mean you may actually have to play the game?
I play the game, thank you very much. Man, I went from one troll to two. What the fuck?
Well, come on, what'd you expect having me back on the show? You know how this works.
Yeah, and now I'm realizing why it's been, a year since you've been on this show, my friend.
So, are you saying that Toasty doesn't troll you? Because I feel like he does.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. You said one troll to two. Who's... Okay, so... Am I the troll? Is Fan the troll?
No, I went from one row to two, both of you guys.
Oh, okay. All right. And now it's three, because,
Yeah.
I'm with you now.
So we should...
Apparently I'm doubling down on trolls this week.
We should rename today's episode as Troll Medros Day or something.
Or not. Let's not. Anyways, My earning of Bloods of Sargeras is not keeping up with my spending of them to feed my alts. So I need to go out and do some farming of that stuff. Maybe do like one character a day, farm up all of the Order Hall world quests out there. My four characters that have the complete one quest every 18 hours They are doing fine, because they can generally earn enough through that one to get their daily use of them cleared up. The big problem is that I'm actually doing world quests, doing missions again, and I'd pretty much taken a break from that for a significant period of time. So I think that's where my primary issue is currently coming from. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the big problem there for me. Otherwise, I now have the first earned, like, I guess, 60 levels of artifact power or whatever the heck it is on all of my tunes, including my newer ones. So their artifact levels are all level 60. They've got the first earned trait or whatever it is for their relics opened up. And slowly working them through, trying to unlock the stuff on Argus for all of them. Definitely still not very friendly for alts, unfortunately. But I'll get there eventually. Yeah, just doing stuff here or there to try and progress my characters where I can, even though most of them don't leave the Vindicar these days. Unless there's a profession world quest back on Azeroth for them to do. So, yeah, thoroughly uninteresting, I assure you. Slowly but surely getting them all up to the current level. I assume the next patch will add some more stuff for them all to do, so while there's nothing for me to do otherwise, I'll quest on them when I can and enjoy the results. So, Ro, how have you been since we last spoke with you a year ago?
Well, I don't know if I could sum up everything that I've done in the past year in World of Warcraft, but as far as this week goes, this past week has been all right. I'm kind of at that point in the cycle with WoW where I'm pretty much logging on mostly to raid and to take care of missions on the table, do a little bit of world quest to get the daily emissary cache done, get a few order resources. So I've got my setup so that every quest that I do gets me 200 order hall resources regardless. And I find myself actually focusing on order hall resource world quests, because now that I have unlocked Lightforge missions on the table, I've got some really good missions that are providing a lot of gold income, and I'm only caring about the Warlock right now as far as mission tables and stuff like that goes. And it's actually been a pretty steady source of income, but I have to keep the Order Hall resources up, which is weird because all the way up until 7.3, I had this glut of Order Hall resources. Now I actually have to play a little bit in order to make sure to keep the numbers sufficiently high enough. Companions are all maxed out at 950 item level and everything like that. Everything's all good, so kind of in a bit of cruise control right now. My raid team has downed Kil'jaeden on normal. We downed Goroth on heroic for the second time this past weekend. And I think the plan this coming week is to do a little time walking in Black Temple and see what happens there. Our first adventure when Black Temple was available for time walking, it didn't go so great. So we're hoping to have a little better luck this time around. Especially now that we're far better geared than we are. It's not like we're going to be doing this place for the gear. We're doing it basically for the fun and just to see what it's like when item level and everything is all scaled and good to go. So that's pretty much it for Warcraft for me. I've been playing a little bit of everything Blizzard-wise, you know, a little bit Overwatch, Halloween Terror going on. I've been playing some Hearthstone here and there. Probably going to be spending a lot of time this week playing Heroes of the Storm because their Hallow's End stuff is happening, and WoW's Hallow's End stuff's happening, so I might be playing a little bit of that, but I already got them out, so probably not too much. And, yeah, that's the now and the past week pretty much in a nutshell, and there's this little thing called BlizzCon that's a couple weeks away, and I'm trying not to think about that too much because if I get hyped about it right now, each shift at work between now and BlizzCon is going to feel that much longer. So I'm going to wait 1 week before I let the hype really get me going crazy.
But I'm sure there's a whole other thing that you've been busy with leading up to BlizzCon, right?
Tiny
little community event?
Yeah, there's this little thing called World of Podcasts and Calm Before the Storm. So I have been spending some time, you know, just kind of providing oversight on that right now, making sure things are going all right. Like, the bulk of my job for World of Podcasts was done in the early stages, planning to get everyone all together on board, see who wants to participate, which shows are interested, all that stuff. Man, we are 2 weeks from tonight, as far as recording goes, to have the first part of World of Podcasts, which is called the Pod Before the Con. And that's going to be happening on twitch.tv/conbeforestorm. And Toasty is going to be a part of that as well. And it's recording at the usual time that you'd find all things Azeroth recording, which is, I take full and complete responsibility for the fact that all things Azeroth is recording on the 29th, because I basically hijacked their time slot for doing this. Maybe another reason why I haven't been on the show. What's that?
So that was intentional. Okay. I understand you.
Yep, that would entirely be my fault, but I think it's still going to be great. I'm really glad that Toasty's going to be a part of it, and we're going to have a bit of a podcast and build up and hype to World of Podcasts and Con Before the Storm on the 30th, and that'll be available for listening after the fact on the World of Podcasts feed, and then, of course, there's World of Podcasts itself the Thursday before BlizzCon. There's so much I could say about all that. I've talked about all this in detail on a couple of other shows. I will say, nutshell version, if you're interested in checking this stuff out, whether you're going to be there in person or not, go to conbeforestorm.com, and that'll give you all the info going there. If you play Hearthstone and are going to be in the area in person, there's going to be a fireside gathering there that was just announced. A whole lot of great things going on. So I'm just as excited for World of Podcasts as I am about BlizzCon itself. I mean, it's not like there are going to be any big announcements or anything like that. But I'm still just the whole community aspect and meeting, you know, fellow podcasters, meeting listeners of the shows that I do, and also me getting to meet people that produce content out there that I'm a fan of, that's just as important a deal to me as all the stuff that happens in the convention center. So can't wait for that stuff, and that'll definitely be preoccupying my mind a week from now. This week I just kind of want to get through work one shift at a time, and then I'll start going nuts in a week.
I gotta ask you, because you've been doing this longer than I have. Mm-hmm. When people come up to you and say, you know, they like listening to your show and all that stuff, is this still a huge trip for you? Because I had my first experience with that at the last BlizzCon. I was sitting at one of the fountains, taking a load off, and I sat next to some people. We were talking about podcasts. I didn't even mention the show, and they mentioned that they listened to it. I'm like, oh wow, this is a trip. Is it still a trip?
Absolutely, because, I mean, really, you think about it, WoW's probably down to about, say, 2 to 3 million regularly active players right now. We don't have exact numbers, but I want to say maybe it's somewhere in that neighborhood, if not higher. Still, that's millions of people playing this game. The podcasts that we put out there are heard by thousands, and while that thousands thing may be an impressive number, that's still relatively a drop in the bucket as far as like the overall player base for the game. So whenever anyone comes up to me and says like, yeah, I listen to your shows and stuff like that, it's an awesome thing. And it's weird, because I mean, on one hand, it's like, I like the recognition, but I also recognize that, you know, I'm just a guy who likes talking about World of Warcraft and likes talking about podcasts, and any Joe Schmo could do a podcast just as much as I could. I just decided to take the initiative and do it. So it's flattering and stuff like that, but I try not to get too big ahead about it, and just like be thankful for people recognizing what I do. And I'd be doing this stuff whether 1,000 people were listening to me or 12 people were listening to me. So it's all good, it's all fun, and one of the great things about BlizzCon each year, I never know what the most important moments of my trip are going to be or what the most special moments are going to be, because they always seem to happen in the most unexpected ways. You can never really predict how it's going to come up. And more often than not, it has to do with some sort of personal interaction. Someone who has listened to what I've done from afar, or someone who's known me for some time but never really had a chance to introduce themselves to me. And it's just those meetings, those interactions that usually end up being the most special parts of the trip for me.
Yeah, just hanging out with everybody and just being able to talk about these games that we are so incredibly passionate about. It's an experience that you don't get often in the real world, in real life.
So it's real life too. It's just a second real life.
Yeah, it's a surreal real life.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. And yeah, can't wait. It's just 2 weeks away.
I know. Bring it on.
So this might be a good time to bring up what I'm doing on the 3rd and 4th of November.
Oh, really?
Indeed. So I am gathering some folks, one or two voices you may have heard here or there on the show, to talk about World of Warcraft, talk about some Diablo, maybe some Overwatch, a little bits here and there. Just talking about what the news out of BlizzCon is. So we'll be starting about 10 a.m. Central Time on Friday, and then probably about 11 a.m. on the Saturday. Maybe 10 if there's a lot to talk about and cover from the day before. And pretty much going through till the end of the panels, which is around 8 or so. And then doing a bit of a wrap-up, you know, what happened, what we found out. So, not entirely certain if that's going to be on Discord or if we're going to do that on Twitch, but it should be a lot of fun either way.
Hey, Medros, so are you going to do Muse karaoke?
No.
Aww.
Because that would require that I've actually heard of them.
Well, you should play them. You have 2 weeks.
Or actually care to hear with them.
Wow.
Oh. Ouch.
To Sorry. Be fair, that was exactly my attitude towards Weird Al last year.
That's why I have no, you know, I don't feel bad about that at all. And by the way, for I think someone was asking earlier, the flute is revered for Argazina Reach.
So I hit revered. Yay!
Maybe I should get past honored.
Yeah. Yes, after honored is revered.
I've been really slacking on the Knights. The Knights of Sidonia. I read Knights of Sidonia in Discord, and that's what. No, I should really get started on doing those rep grinds in earnest, because I've been slacking horrifically.
All right, but yeah, definitely join us if we can find a recording device for a Toasty. Maybe he'll give us his thoughts on what was done on the first day. But I'm not counting on it, because he'll probably be busy drinking or something.
No, I'm bringing some stuff down so I can record.
Your phone is an awesome audio recorder, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a recorder on my phone.
Yeah, there you go.
And I brought my laptop to process everything. So yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I got you covered, man. Yeah. I mean, it might come late, but I'll get it.
Awesome. Well, as long as I have any audio you record by, you know, Saturday morning, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be easy.
Yeah. So some of them will be there. Hopefully, Fan will join me if he's not preoccupied with
baby
stuff.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah. Assuming that you aren't, you know, without sleep and have some energy left.
An elbow deep in parenthood.
Yes. Which I assume you will be by then.
Yeah.
Or very, very close to, anyway. Our first sponsor, I guess, is the next thing up on our schedule. Yeah. Oh, sorry, a reminder. Pre-BlizzCon. Again, as Ro mentioned, due to his sabotage, we have to record on the 29th of October. So definitely tune in on the Sunday at 8 p.m. instead of the Monday. And if you have any issues with that date, please send emails to the realmmaintenance@gmail.com, right?
realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet at realmpodcast or tweet at Rowow, R-H-O-W-O-W. That's it for the show. Good night, everybody. What?
Oh, boy.
All right. Before we get on to our first sponsor, what's coming up in WoW this week?
Well, Rose already kind of touched on Burning Crusade time walking, and also Hallow's End starting. So Hallow's End runs from Wednesday until November 1st. But the other thing that's going on next week is PvP Brawl Pact? Who put that F there?
Nobody put the F there. It's a P.
Pact House. So I do believe that the Pact House is the 15v15 PvP battles in arenas.
Oh, that
sounds amazing.
It is so much fun, especially if I'm spec'd to Bladestorm.
And those things end really quickly. I mean, it'll be relatively a quick brawl, so considering all the chaos that happens there, pretty much one side will usually snowball and steamroll another one. The last time when I did that brawl, I remember Horde ended up not losing a single person and killed every person in the Alliance. It was great. Sorry, Alliance, but...
I remember doing 5v5 in BC as, and I think I brought this up last show or the one before, just went 5 DPS and we kind of just target the healer, kill the healer, and then everything else will die easily. And we got so many arena points for that. I really, really, really have to try out this PvP brawl.
Do it, dude.
The trick I found as a warlock hurling chaos bolts was to find an inconspicuous place kind of out of the action and just hurl balls of death from afar and take things out and just cackle gleefully.
See, I am affliction now, and I have been for a while, so I'll just dot everything.
Oh, sure. That's fine. That's totally acceptable.
I'll do siphon life, and I mean... they'll hit me, and I'll heal back.
Yeah.
And if you're a warrior, what you want to do is use all your CDs, Heroic Leap, Artifact Ability, Blade Storm. And then Whirlwind for days.
And if you're a paladin, Bubble Hearth.
Isn't there like a divine... I forgot the name of the ability... I just know it makes hammers show up around them. Divine Storm? Isn't that a thing?
Aha, yeah, but that's not part of the Bubble Hearth rotation.
No. Medros, what are the odds that you participate in the brawl this week?
As good a chance as me going to BlizzCon next week. Or in 3 weeks.
Dope!
So you're going to BlizzCon?
Funny, man. I didn't realize you were so good at comedy.
Well, you know, I'm practicing my dad jokes.
Yeah, you gotta get those on point.
Yeah. There's even a channel in Slack, our work Slack, that's called Dad Jokes. I've been studying.
Good, you need it.
Yeah. So, that pretty much answers the question, Ro, because, not going to do the PB, no. I will PvP less likely than I will raid. And you know my chances of raiding. Anyways, moving along to our ad. Our newest sponsor is, of course, the folks who wear Funko. I might have one or two new ones this week. Maybe. Probably. Anyways, they make great Funko, great vinyl figures of characters from all your favorite Blizzard worlds. They've got Warcraft movie ones, Overwatch ones, World of Warcraft and Diablo, even Heroes of the Storm. And they also have some from outside of the Blizzard universes like Firefly, Star Trek, Star Wars, and more. If you go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2017, you can check out their online shop and use the code SHOP10 to save 10% off your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2017, and save and use Shop 10 to save 10%. Thanks to Funko for supporting the show.
All right, so as you may or may not have guessed, BlizzCon's coming up, you know, pretty quick. It only took up the first, what, half hour of the show?
A little bit.
So far? Yeah. So along with that, we get a whole bunch of BlizzCon stuff. So last week, the floor map for BlizzCon 2017 was revealed, and they brought some interesting changes that I don't think... I definitely didn't anticipate some of these changes. Mainly StarCraft not being in that giant arena.
I anticipated that. As big as Overwatch is,
I didn't anticipate it happening as quickly as it did.
When they announced Overwatch League last year, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I thought it would be like one or two more years before Overwatch got to that point. But at the same time, I haven't been seeing so much about with StarCraft tournaments lately, and I usually try to follow that. Because I like watching it every once in a while, but yeah, I don't know. There's definitely a bit of shock for some people, myself included, but I'm pretty stoked about that change, because that means I can actually get into the arena, unlike last year. That was really disappointing.
Yeah, there will actually be seats.
If you weren't there, like, first thing in the morning, you were not getting in. Because people just were not leaving. I mean, they had their own washroom area, they had food areas. Yep. They were set.
The only reason why I was able to get in and check it out for a while is because of having media access and stuff. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, you were pretty much out of luck if you didn't get there first thing.
What else was there? We're also seeing the use of the expanded Anaheim Convention Center, which is really cool. It's not entirely clear to me where we're accessing that from the rest of the venue, but I'm guessing that'll become more clear, because right now it looks like there's just this random heroic stage there, and then all of a sudden you're in that new pink area where they're going to have the Dark Moon Fair. The Dark Moon Fair is taking up quite a bit of space too.
And you're popping over there for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to check out that legendary stage. I'm going to see. I'm going to check out the Overwatch voice actors, because, yeah.
Yeah, and while you're there, you're going to give me some pins, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I said I would do, so I'm going to do it.
It's right. Interesting because, I mean, you look at the way things are set up here, and a lot of the panels and stuff that they would have done in previous years are happening in this other building, in this other hall right now. And the way they got these stages set up, it's essentially like they got what was originally done upstairs in the main building, they've put that in the new building, given it a lot more space to work with and more seating. And the best thing is all the stuff with like voice actors and, you know, special panels with engineers and all that stuff, all of those things are going to be part of the virtual tickets, so you won't get to miss out on any of the smaller stuff. Like if you have special interest in voice acting or the art and all that stuff, you'll be able to see that on the virtual ticket feed, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yep, I don't have to find a janky version on YouTube this year. Yep.
I would just say, my top recommendation, the Overwatch voice actors, man. You want to watch that.
I'm going to go to that just for the glorious man that is Matt Mercer.
a little bit of podcaster bias here, but the thing I'm most excited about when it comes to the stuff at these other stages, like the Epic and Legendary stage, and I think if this one's happening at the Epic stage, the instance getting to actually be a part of BlizzCon is a pretty freaking big deal as far as WoW podcasts getting recognized and being a part of the thing. I mean, of course, people know what the instance is all about, and I think it's awesome that Blizzard's finally kind of including podcasters in the community spotlight in such a direct way, and I only wish that there were more opportunities for this for more shows, but it's a great start, and I'll be definitely attending that one in person.
I expressed my thoughts on that last week. I'm not going to go any further.
I know.
Oh, I mentioned this during when we first started the call, but the Diablo demo kind of being right outside the bathroom. That kind of sucks for you guys.
Yeah, if you look on the floor map, the word Diablo, it, like, so they got a spot for the Diablo cosplay backdrop, right? And the way they have it situated, it literally puts the word Diablo inside one of the restrooms, and it's just, it's, I don't know, feels bad, man.
Yeah, I think that perfectly summarizes how people feel Diablo's being treated this BlizzCon, which is unfortunate.
Diablo's time will come. It's maybe a year or two away. I am sure that the Diablo team, people working on the Diablo franchise, are hard at work on the next big thing. And Blizzard stuff, more often than not, takes years to be, you know, ready to be revealed and such like that. So, Diablo just got a new class last year, and we probably won't see anything or hear anything about this year because they've said as much. Give it a year or two, and I'm sure Diablo will be back with a hellish vengeance.
Now, Ro, you mentioned something during the pre-show that people were, you know, there was a lot of talk about it. Maybe you can elaborate more, because I haven't seen that talk. The Sylvanas statue being right dead center in front of the World of Warcraft demo.
Yeah, so the World of Warcraft demo space is relatively sizable. It is the largest demo space in BlizzCon this year, which only fuels more of the hype that, like, there must be something big happening for World of Warcraft that's going to be announced at BlizzCon 2017. I think Overwatch had the most demo stations, and that Legion was a little bit smaller than Overwatch. But World of Warcraft's in the spotlight. And of course, you know, the past few weeks we've seen Jaina have the key art for BlizzCon representing WoW. And there's been a lot of focus on Jaina in other titles too, like her Dreadlord version in Heroes of the Storm, Frostlich Jaina in Hearthstone. So everything seems to be coming up Jaina this year, except in the World of Warcraft demo area. In fact, it's basically one of the first things you see if you go through that entrance. You are going to see a statue for Sylvanas. Now, some people have speculated that maybe this means that Sylvanas has more of a presence in the next expansion, because last year, if I was not mistaken, what I saw in the conversation, Illidan had this spot that Sylvanas had, so which made sense because Legion. Now, Sylvanas, I thought, was going to have a big role in Legion. It didn't necessarily work out that way. I mean, she had some bit of a role, but now people are wondering, well, hey, is Sylvanas going to have a lot more to do with the next expansion? And I would say, I don't know. I think that my personal opinion is, I think the Sylvanas statue is there because they literally don't have a Jaina Proudmoore statue yet. What do you guys think?
I obviously haven't had much of an opportunity to give it much thought. When I initially saw the Sylvanas thing, I'm just like, cool, Sylvanas statue is going to be there. So, part of me definitely thinks that people are looking too much into it.
Maybe Sylvanas is placeholder for Jaina.
Have they done a bait and switch like that previously?
I don't know.
The Winston statue, was it last year? I know 1 year was new, and I don't remember seeing that on the map at all. So, I don't know. Either way, there's that big area between the Mythic stage and the World of Warcraft demo where usually they have a couple statues that's completely empty. So, maybe something can get thrown in there.
I do feel bad for the D3 people.
Yeah.
This is third year in a row they've gotten the short end of the stick. Like, they had Necromancer last year playable there, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, they didn't make that big of a deal of it, I didn't feel. Maybe 1 year Blizzard will care about them again. Maybe 1 year.
There's a T-Mobile booth?
Yeah, there is every year.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, okay. That's where you can put your phone to charge.
They should change that to Cricket.
No. Oh, so what else was interesting there? They moved the graffiti wall on the Blizzard Careers thing. It's not tucked into a random hallway anymore. It's actually right up front. Like, as soon as you walk into the convention center, there's the graffiti wall, and there's the career booth. So I'm going to make sure to hit that up right away. The career booth, that is. Or not the creep, but the graffiti wall. Did I say that? I can't remember now. Like I said, my mind's pretty much just on, you know, it's 2 weeks away. I want to be there now. Yeah. I mean, those are the big things that I've pulled out of the map.
Toasty, are you looking at this map and imagining yourself, like, right there? Standing in front of Kerrigan or Sylvanas? As all the people around you? Well, we'll talk on the 29th of what you expect to see there, if we don't already know, because people have leaked it.
So, I want to see what they do with the Overwatch Arena, because now, last year, what they did with the space they had for Overwatch was pretty amazing visually, and in the past few years, when StarCraft had that space in the arena, it was a really elaborate design and production for what they did with StarCraft there. I mean, I feel bad for people that won't be able to see what the StarCraft setup looked like in the arena because it's no longer in that space. But it was pretty freaking awesome. So I can only imagine how they're going to make that space look like covering Overwatch. That, I think, is going to be a sight to behold.
I mean, just seeing the stages that they've used previously, I'm really excited to see how that'll turn out. I'm hoping it'll be a little more full than the StarCraft arena was last year, because it definitely... Last year was the first opportunity I had to watch the StarCraft arena, and that's because it just wasn't as full as I expected it to be. Which I was kind of bummed about, because that was the whole point. I wanted to go there. I wanted to experience that magic. I didn't get to, because everybody was watching Overwatch.
Very excited. Very excited for this map. It's really cool. Have you guys visited the gear store the last couple of days?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I did.
I did too, and I may have possibly looked a little too long.
You spent entirely more money than you expected to?
Absolutely.
Well, and then you also found that they no longer charge tax, so...
For Canadians.
Yeah, so we have to pay duty.
Again, man. Yes. I was enjoying that bit where they were charging all those fees, so we didn't have to pay the carrier.
Yeah.
That was nice back, you know...
Last year?
Yeah, and 6 months ago, 3 months ago. Before they did their, like, refresh of the store, they were actually charging Canadian taxes. And, yeah, saved us a lot of money when people got their deliveries. Now they don't anymore.
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
Extremely, and very costly. I know somebody who got charged over $200 in duty.
Whoa! Wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you?
No. Oh,
okay. Wow, that's crazy.
It is very insane. Hopefully Blizzard changes their mind and goes back to the way it was, but we'll see. Ooh, they now have something I didn't see before. They have the backpack hangers.
Oh yeah, one thing about this thing is they typically tend to add items like in the weeks leading up to it all.
Well, that's no fun. Now I have to like go through every day and see what they added.
That's the whole point, though. They make you visit it again and again.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, you thought about getting this one thing one time, but now we have these other things. You can buy that thing and the new things. It's a scheme. It's a racket is what it is.
Yeah. I'm not going to get the Overwatch backpack hangers. I don't really care about them, but they look cute. I know somebody who got a bunch at Hot Topic when they had them on sale there, so. But yeah, so they do have some really interesting stuff. As a pin collector myself, I did notice a few things that caught my eye. They have a four series of Cupa Deadly pins. They have a pin binder now, whereas they just had the roll last year. They also now sell locking pinbacks and rubber pinbacks. I will leave it up to people to research the value of those options, but definitely cool they have those. They, of course, have the Series 4 pins this year, which have... they have Genji, Hanzo, Mercy, Widowmaker, Anduin, Zul, Sombra, I can't remember his name, Samuro, and Nemsi. I can't remember the Protoss's name. I know I saw it the other day, but I can't remember now. Between Sombra and Samuro, the Blade Master. I can't can't remember his name. Wowhead has the names up on their pin guide. I can go there to find that out. But so of course they have them in colored and gold, as they have the last, pretty much every year they've done pins, all four series. Alarak is his name, the Protoss.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah. So if you are a pin collector, definitely check those out. They have some really awesome pins. There's one for each of the championships. So there's a Warcraft, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, Overwatch, StarCraft, Overwatch, Warcraft, Hearthstone. There's one more, but I'm not remembering it right now. But they are really cool. Of course, they have the annual BlizzCon 2017 logo pin. Now, this thing here, now they call it something different, but I call it like a onesie. A Murloc onesie. Yeah, I don't know what the difference is between a onesie and that, but it looks like a onesie to me.
Yeah. When that showed up, I had to, like, there was some serious willpower involved in not playing them.
I'm hoping to get a Nemzee pin.
A which pin, sorry?
Nemzee from the Warlock character that's going to be in Hearthstone.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Yep, that's basically, so if anyone at BlizzCon ends up with a golden Nemzee pin, I will trade for this thing. Because must have all things Warlock.
So you're looking for a gold one, not a regular one?
Yes. I'll take a regular, I'll trade for a regular one too, but I mean, when it comes to like the characters that I like, I try to go for the golden ones. I have a golden Illidan, and I have a couple other favorites that are in gold version.
My spares are already in a piece of suitcase to head to California, so.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Jen's got them.
Okay. I don't remember seeing those.
No. Yeah, she's got my role. I've got the binder. Plans are being made to ensure that my collection leaves California with a full set.
Nice.
I have 3 years of full sets. I don't have the full set from the first year because they were so hard to get.
I gotta say, this is the one of the years, this is the first year for BlizzCon where there's not a lot of stuff that I want to buy. I mean, usually I go crazy buying a bunch of BlizzCon stuff, but I think this year it's probably going to end up just being like the key art poster and the key art magnet. I mean, I was tempted by the Kikurumi and the Overwatch hoodies specifically, but I just got my Overwatch hoodies from the Jinx pre-order. And the sizing is not ideal. And I found with a lot of the stuff that I've bought at BlizzCon recently, the sizing has always been a little off. Like that, remember that flannel Hearthstone jacket from last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
See, yeah, I know I'm a big guy, but I usually go like 2X, 3X. I bought the 4X for the Hearthstone jacket, and that's still like real small. So I'm hesitant to buy that stuff now. It's a shame because I really like that Overwatch D.Va hoodie specifically. I really want. I didn't buy it from the Jinx pre-sale because it was like, I'm okay with wearing pink, but that entire thing was pink. That was a little too much pink for my liking.
Now they have a blue one.
Yeah, but at the same time, I've got the Lucio one, and that thing's a snug fit.
Well, you'll be there, so you can try them on in person, see if it's maybe one with a better fit.
I hope so.
I'll be honest. I was actually considering getting like several of the ugly holiday sweater for gifts for you guys, but I figured you guys probably wouldn't enjoy those.
I have the Warcraft one from last year.
Yeah, the Yeti one is the Grinch one is really interesting.
I would wear it.
I wouldn't ask anybody to wear it. That's the problem. And I will note, Ro, there is a Jaina poster here.
Oh, I know. Like I said, Jaina's part of the BlizzCon key art.
Yeah. Oh, that Jaina poster is really nice, too. Oh. He holds by a bunch of posters.
I'm going to say, anybody who's looking at the Overwatch Snowball plush, it's big. Like, probably as big as Winston.
That's surprising. Just saying.
Have you guys seen the Twitter posts from Blizzard Entertainment regarding the Diablo Colossal Cupid Deadly figure?
No.
No.
It's really hilarious. Basically shows the Colossal next to one of the smaller, the normal sized ones, and it's like, and don't you ever talk to me and my son again kind of thing. It's really hilarious.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to trick that. Which Twitter account was that?
Blizzent.
Okay, I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah. Of course, they have all of the key art stuff. One person I know who ordered the key art mug said that the mug, the pixel, there's a lot of pixelation in the image on the mug, so I would consider yourself warned on that one.
I saw something about that, too, and apparently it has something to do with the new vendor that they're using. So if you notice that, you can submit a ticket, and they'll do their best to try to fix that.
Yeah,
like either replace it or, you know, do something.
Yeah, if my bar wasn't already very full of glasses, I would definitely order the Diablo pub glasses because they look really cool. Let's see what else is there here. Lots of hats. If you like the snap brim hats, I think they're called
flat brim.
Yeah, I hate them. Hate them with a passion. But if you like them, they've got lots of different ones. They've got Heroes ones, Heroes Championship ones. There's a Hearthstone one. I think it's... Yeah, it looks like a flat brim. Lots of beanies. They look like toques to me, but...
I mean, whatever. That's what they are. They're toques. Yeah.
Okay. Americans call things so weird names. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Another name for a toque is a toboggan as well.
Really?
Yeah. People in our North Carolina office. Yeah.
All right. Well, your North Carolina office is apparently smoking something really high quality. Yeah. Anyways, lots of toques, some scarves, lots of sweaters. There's Genji, Lucio, D.Va, Reinhardt, Roadhog, Zarya, Mei, shirt. Lots of attire this year. Anything catch your eye there, Ro?
I mean, I just bought the key art magnet, the BlizzCon pin, and BlizzCon key art shirt. There really wasn't anything there that like struck me yet that like made me go, must buy this now. I imagine I will probably buy some things at the BlizzCon store once the other items are added to the store, the things that can't be added because they're tied into announcements and such. So, like, say if WoW gets an expansion announcement, there's probably going to be merchandise related to that, and we'll know about that then. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, man, part of me is hoping they screw up, and remember, I think it was for Warlords? Where they were playing the interviews with the developers and they forgot to, you know, not include the logo in the background.
Yeah.
Part of me wants that. Part of me also just wants to wait for the surprise.
You know, each year I hope that they're able to conceal this the surprise as long up until BlizzCon itself. And a couple of times they've gotten really close, but they never can seem to make it all the way without a leak happening sometime before BlizzCon. So
it's gonna happen. Legion? Huh? Did they make it work with Legion when they did it at Gamescom?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Well, here's hoping for two in a row, then.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, I'm sure that people want to hear us talk about other stuff. That's not... Oh, wait, no, the next topic is BlizzCon stuff still.
All right, well, let's move on to the next BlizzCon topic.
But we've already
talked... All things BlizzCon!
We've already talked about some of these things, like the... Sky Chaser and Orgrimmar Interceptor being part of in-game bonuses for either going to BlizzCon or buying the virtual ticket. Was there the Winston skin for Overwatch before, or is that new?
Nope, that was announced last week. In fact, the day a lot of these recorded. Things were just announced this past week. The Warcraft stuff was about the only thing we knew about.
Oh, I see. Hmm. So yeah, there's a Winston skin for Overwatch. There is, for StarCraft 2, Junker SCV, Probe, and Drone skins. And for Heroes of the Storm, there's Nexus Razorback mount and other things. I think we saw that last week.
It was
part Data Mine from the Heroes of the Storm PTR.
And for Diablo 3, there's a Murkromancer pet, which looks so
best
awesome.
Best Murloc ever. This thing needs to be in WoW.
Yeah. Yes, I'm so choked that there's no Murloc for WoW.
Well, you know what? I mean, everybody's complaining that there's no Diablo 3 love. Well, this is some Diablo 3 love.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Hearthstone has a mystery goodie, which I assume is a card and a card back.
Well, the picture they show is a question mark and golden legendary, so I would imagine it's probably a golden legendary of one of the key characters from the next expansion.
Yeah.
I am going to put my money on that golden legendary being the golden legendary for the wizard, whose name I forget, but it's the Hearthstone key art for BlizzCon. On his poster, there's a name for him. I'm trying to remember what it is. But I think he's going to end up... I think that the characters from the Hearth and Home cinematic are eventually going to have, you know, their own legendary card versions and stuff like that inside Hearthstone, and I feel like he's going to be the golden legendary.
Oh, that's Malto.
Malto, there you go. Yeah, I think it's going to be golden legendary Malto, and I don't know what he does, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be a reason he's included there. That's a good call.
Huh. It's kind of cool.
There's more BlizzCon stuff that we can talk about. Pretty much all the news right now, folks, for the most part, is going to be BlizzCon. I mean, there's some other stuff, too, but it's kind of typical for the last couple weeks before BlizzCon is let's talk about BlizzCon, and more BlizzCon. There is something new happening at BlizzCon this year. And it's happening in the same area as the Darkmoon Fair and all that stuff in the North Hall on the second level. And that's a diversity meetup. I'm going to read a little bit, some portions from the post that they made in here, and in which they were talking about this. They said, the Blizzard community is global and diverse, and this is something we cherish. We're proud of how our players and our workforce reflect the spectrum of cultures, genders, sexual orientations, and interests that make up the world we live in. It's cool we're not all the same. Helps make life more interesting and rewarding. That's why we think it's important to find new ways to recognize who we are as a global community. With that in mind, we're excited to introduce a new space at BlizzCon this year that we're calling the Blizzard Diversity Meetup. And this area, you'll basically be able to interact with employees, community members there. They'll be able to share their stories and talk about how Blizzard's supporting diversity as far as a workplace, within the workplace, as far as hiring practices go and all that stuff. I think this is a very progressive move for Blizzard as a company, and I definitely applaud it. I mean, definitely not being in the demographic I would suppose that this applies to, it's something that I think it's a very positive thing, and I look forward to them being able to kind of just like spread the word and encourage more people to just talk about this stuff, because it's not something that should be overlooked or ignored. I mean, there are, especially when it comes to video game development, for years there's been talk of that there hasn't been as much equality in terms of like hiring practices and stuff goes, and I think Blizzard is one of those companies that really is trying to combat that, and this is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sticks to that whole thing that they, that initiative that they were, they talked about, I want to say it was a couple months ago, where they're specifically addressing like, diversity in the field,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, as a person of color, I mean, I'm going to appreciate the heck out of that. So, yeah, I mean, this is just further feeding into that, and that's something I'm all for.
Absolutely.
It's like you said, it's one of those things where people don't like talking about that stuff just because it makes them uncomfortable, but at the same time, it's one of those things that I feel people shouldn't be afraid to talk about. So.
Well, yeah, and this is going to be a safe space to talk about that kind of stuff. And also, I mean, I would encourage you, if you don't, even if you don't think that you belong to a group where this where these conversations and stuff don't necessarily apply to you, to some degree, I would say that's even more reason for you to go check out this thing and listen to these stories and stuff like that. It just to help you gain insight and perspective and just gain some appreciation for other perspectives and other points of view when it comes to all this stuff. So it's definitely a space that I'll be checking out at some point during BlizzCon.
Yeah, I'm going to be checking that out too. Just that's something that means a lot personally to me. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad they're doing this.
Wait, what's this? We have non-BlizzCon news coming up in the show notes.
Do we?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's something to talk about. I didn't think that people cared about this. it's only been one of the, you know, repeat questions for every dev Q&A that we've had so far for Legion.
Right. I think we should save this for next show. This is the BlizzCon show.
But this is important. People need to know about this now, because some of these things are, you know, they're time sensitive to a degree. So, one of the things that I'm going to talk to you guys about is artifact appearances after Legion, because that's a thing that we've all been working towards the entire expansion. We're granting these experiences, we're trying to get everything that's available to us, and the big question has been, can we still get them after Legion? Can we still use them after Legion? The answer is yes, to a degree. Some of the appearances are not going to be available post Legion. Specifically, anything that has the one that has to do with the +15 Keystone Dungeon. You're not going to be able to get that, obviously, because you know that's meant to have been a challenge. And
by not available, you mean not able to be unlocked.
Correct.
Like, to be clear, if you have this stuff unlocked now, you will get to keep that.
Yeah. The second one would be the Mage Tower appearances. Think of them as the challenge mode gear for this expansion, where once you get them, you have them forever, but you can't get them after the content is not relevant anymore. Makes sense? The rest of the appearances, however, you'll still be able to gain them. So that's great. It gives me time for some of the stuff.
I've just got to say, it's weird because, like, if the challenge mode appearance for the Destruction Warlock artifact looked really awesome and really great, in my opinion, then I might have more of something to say about this. But to be quite frank, I don't like the Destruction artifact appearance for Mage Tower. So it's like, if I miss it, it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I'm concerned about getting is the Fury Warrior one for the Mage Tower, because actually, when all the appearances were data mined during Legion's initial run, I mean, that was the one I wanted to get. That's the one, like, okay, I need to get that one. I mean, the axe hidden appearance, I've never been one to transmog to axes, so that never really appealed to me, but those swords look really good, and I kind of want them, so I'm going to have to start hitting up Mage Tower more often than I have been. They also stated that the artifact weapons will likely be restricted to your class. So, for example, Death Knights won't be able to transmog to the new Corrupted Ashbringer appearance. If you really like
Warlocks, the won't be able to wield the Aladai, so no big deal.
Yeah. And the other big question is the Druid stuff, specifically their bear and kitty forms. Well, they haven't figured out how they're going to do it. They want to be able to do that. So that's something that they're working towards, which is good.
I bet you that's going to come in the form of some sort of special NPC in like Moonglade or something, where you can toggle different appearances or something.
That would make sense.
Yep.
Which means I'm going to start grinding for some of those appearances, because I really like the... I don't know the name of it. It's the one that... It's the bear skin that shares the skeleton with the worgen?
Yeah. Basically, the kind of like half-humanoid, half-bear skin. That form's great.
Yeah, I really want that, even though I'll probably never use it. I still want it. It looks cool.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Rizian says, wouldn't they just glyph it? I mean, that's a possibility too, but at the same time, actually, yeah. I mean, glyphing it could be an option. It would keep in line with keeping the cost behind the transmog thing going. Because, yeah, glyphs right now, you mean you just use them when they're gone again. So, yeah, that would keep it in line with transmogging the weapons. So that's another possibility. Of course, then you're dependent on the market for it, and that could be a pain.
True that.
Okay, so, Fandeth, why don't you talk to us about this crazy demon hunter?
Yeah, Mion, I'm not used to seeing him play a demon hunter. I'm used to him, his DK, where he goes and solos everything. But he just released, what was it, I guess 5 days ago, a video of him soloing Gul'dan on his demon hunter, which I watched the video right before the show. I didn't watch the whole thing because it's 20 minutes long. But still, I kind of skipped through parts of it. He hits the enrage timer, but he says that he was able to kind of get past it. And he found out that he really likes health stones. Bandages. He used bandages to help heal himself.
Wow.
But just amazing. Like 20 minutes of straight fighting.
It's not even 20 minutes. This video was sped up to 20 minutes.
Oh.
The enrage lasts for half an hour. He waits out the half hour.
Wow.
He waited out the enrage?
Yeah. So what's happening is he killed, you know, in the first phase of Gul'dan, he summons those three NPCs.
Yeah.
So two of them move around willy-nilly. One of them stays still.
Yeah.
So he keeps that. He basically stands on the other side of the room from that one, so he's not getting hit by David's abilities, and dodges fell afflux for half an hour, and then he goes and knocks everything down. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it says here down here in the description it took 1 hour 9 minutes in total. Gear eye level 943, artifact level 69.
Yeah. That's nuts.
I do enjoy his videos, and he is next level.
I can't wait to see him solo... What's his face? Kill Jaden. But by the time we're done with Antorus, watch him try to solo Kill Jaden. I think that'd be great.
No, the fight I'm interested in seeing him solo is Desolate Host.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting.
You have to wonder if that's even possible, given the mechanics of that fight.
Yeah, that's a good point. That may not be possible, actually.
But if he does, I'm going to be watching that, because that's interesting.
Yep.
So, was this normal or heroic?
Mione is normal. A woman. Oops. Somebody, Red Zine just pointed out in the chat. Our bad.
Even so, absolutely amazing.
Yeah. She is... Wow. That's so cool.
Alright. So, moving on. In case you're wondering if you've been, like, a miner on Argus, like me. Because I play a warlock that likes to mine. I know. It's weird, but... Crazy. Just run with
you're
it.
You're weird.
I am. But... If you've been running around Argus the last few days and you've been wondering, man, I'm finding a whole lot of Imperium nodes this time around. It's like, how come there's so many Imperium nodes? Did they turn up the spawn rate on them or something? No, Blizzard just got rid of a whole bunch of bots. So, basically, I mean, this happens every now and then, and they posted a few days ago saying that they've taken action against a number of accounts that were found to be using third-party programs that automate gameplay. So if you were watching a whole bunch of player characters acting like NPCs and basically wandering around and just mindlessly going to nodes and mining them and then moving on, you're probably not going to see as much of that right now, and that's always an awesome thing. So I've definitely noticed the change myself. I've noticed I've been able to access more mining nodes when I am mining on Argus, and I've also noticed the price on the auction house has been affected as well. Imperium, at least on my realm, is up a bit, and I would attribute that to the fact that people just aren't mining as much as they used to, and there aren't bots mining that stuff, so the demand's a little bit higher because the supply is less. And as a gold maker, that is all good with me. So, kudos, thank you, Blizzard, for getting rid of the bots. Never stop fighting.
Yeah, it wasn't mining bots either. It was also rotation bots. So if you lost like 3 or 4 of your raid members in the past week, that's probably why, and I wouldn't expect them back anytime soon.
Well, it's a good thing that they did this before Antorus opened up, because if I recall, a couple of the top raiding guilds actually got hit by this during progression for Tomb of Sargeras.
Oh, I didn't realize it was for botting.
Not botting, but like Limit. Limit's one of those high-end raiding guilds. Some people in Limit got banned for that kind of stuff.
Yep, so yeah, get it out of the way now before Antorus hits, so
yep.
A bunch of progression isn't invalidated and give people a legitimate chance to do it. Because Limit called it quits for that tier because they lost so many people, right?
Yep, they sure did.
So this ban wave would also explain why I'm seeing more herbs all around the place.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
Nodes are definitely more plentiful now.
Yeah. I thought they just bumped up the spawn rate, but
nope, there's just less competition.
Time to level up my mining on my priest.
There you go.
Clothy miners, weird people.
Hey now.
Hey,
it's a jewel crafter.
As an engineer, I need to mine. I'm just saying. Actually, I don't need to mine because engineers aren't worth anything right now.
No, they're really not.
But
I'm never going to drop it.
Yeah, I'm never going to drop engineering either on my warlock. So yes, I'm a weird warlock engineer that likes to mine. And why do I mine? To make the golds. And why do I make the golds? To buy Destiny 2 next week. So there you go.
I picked a really dumb combination for my engineer because I'm engineering mining. Or engineering blacksmithing, sorry. So ooh. I have to level up another tune.
You either need to buy your mats or farm them up on an alt, yeah.
Yep.
You see, at least for me, with engineering mining, at least I'm getting the mats to make this stuff, so.
Yeah, I probably should do that eventually. But I really like blacksmithing too, and I don't want to drop that.
My old shaman was engineering and blacksmithing, and I used my druid to do all the mining. My druid was mining jewel crafting. Imagine that, like flying around and have to get her to flight form to mine something. But I don't know. And then I just sent all the ore to my shaman. It worked out fine.
Problem is, I have three professions that are dependent on mining, so I have to mine a lot.
I have 4 characters that require ore.
Well, one thing that'll be interesting about this as far as the impact on gold making goes is especially if you are taking the gold and buying WoW tokens with it, the amount of value that you get from a WoW token may soon be different depending on where you live, especially for all three of you in Canada.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. So, first off, I'm hoping this will actually lead to Canada having its own Blizzard BattleNet balance cards. Currently, as the value of them is in U.S. dollars, and we can't spend U.S. dollars. Well, you can spend U.S. dollars here, but stores don't sell them because what are you going to charge for them? It has been basically buying cards from places online that give you the code or send you the card and then adding your code or using your credit card to add it manually to your account. If you have a credit card to do so. It was really interesting. Blizzard just announced this today. In Canada, Japan, and New Zealand, they will be offering local currencies. So Canadian dollars, Japan's...
Yen?
Yen?
I wasn't sure that was Japan or China, sorry.
I think it's both, actually.
New Zealand. I don't even know what their currency is.
I think dollars, it's just maybe? Dollars, yeah.
Okay. But the interesting thing here is that this will affect all purchases across Battle.net and within the Blizzard and within all of Blizzard's game shops. Now, I don't believe this will account for the gear store, which I won't lie, makes me a bit sad because I would love to have that for the gear store. And charge me taxes, please. But it's gonna be very interesting to see these values translated over to Canadian dollars, and to see how this is all gonna work out. Because there's still a lot of questions on how this is gonna happen.
They want to get this done by the end of the year, I think, right?
Yeah, that was the impression I got. Yeah.
The announcement does unfortunately still leave a fair number of questions. I think, Fan, you had one interesting question that you were curious about.
Yeah, I was super curious about if the pricing is actually static, or if it would fluctuate with the value of the U.S. dollar. Because, I mean, our dollar goes up and down and up and down, and our gas prices go up and down and down and up. And so, like, what's the happy ground? And, you know, if it does fluctuate with the price of the US dollar, then there might be kind of like a meta in there where, you know, you buy when the price is low and then you just have it sitting in your balance, or that's when you buy all your game time and you load up on like 2 years of game time. I don't know. I'm really curious how this works.
I don't think it's something that would be updated daily. I could see them adopting a system where, like, maybe once a month, or more realistically, once a quarter, they adjust their prices.
Yeah, because, I mean, they do something similar with the British pound and euros, right? Because, we've seen them increase prices of character services just based on the fact that the pound is... the value of the pound has changed.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often there, though. I want to say, I think we in a given year, I think we only see and notices about that like once or twice a year.
Yeah, I think that's about right. So hopefully it's something like that.
Well, it depends on your point of view. I mean, you may say hopefully it's something like that, but what if, like, if they were to do it, it all depends on which way the Canadian dollar goes, right? I mean, if it goes in a favorable direction, you may want them to actually update the value sooner than later. So it all depends on economics and stuff. It's interesting.
There's something I never thought I'd be talking about on a WoW podcast.
World something economics. D-O-O economics.
I thought I left that behind in university. Guess not.
Dope.
Like, I honestly prefer it just being U.S. dollars. I mean, we're North America, and it's not hard for Canada to work on U.S. dollars. And, I mean, the company that Toasty and I work for works through U.S. dollars. That's how all our clients pay. And, I mean, yeah, we get paid in Canadian dollars, but everything else works through U.S. dollars. So I disagree with having the Canadian currency, because we could just work around it ourselves. And I have no problem buying U.S. dollars when it's cheap and having that sit in another bank account. But in the same respect, I kind of understand that they want to make it more global. Especially across other countries as well.
For sure.
It's definitely very, a very contentious thing, I guess.
I wonder if they're going to start adding, like, blockchain, like bitcoins, into this as well.
Adding what? Sorry?
Bitcoins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Or other blockchain, currencies.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Yep. In the meantime, let's get some other, you know, money-related stuff out of the way.
Yeah, speaking of money, let's pay the bills more.
Alright, so, our second sponsor is of course, our friends over at Audible. They have many, many books, and yeah, I mean, I listen to it literally every day. They've got a wide selection, anything from hockey books to, you know, we're well aware that there's Warcraft books there. We've featured them numerous times on there on the show, and biographies and a whole bunch of other stuff like that. And they've got fantastic narrators, so I encourage you to go check them out. This week's clip is an old favorite, and there's a reason for that. It's a fantastic book. Medros, why don't you hit play on that?
The song plays over a dark screen for the first few seconds, until the trumpets are joined by a guitar, and that's when Halliday appears. But he's not a 67-year-old man ravaged by time and illness. He looks just as he did on the cover of Time magazine back in 2014. A tall, thin, healthy man in his early 40s with unkempt hair and his trademark horn-rimmed eyeglasses. He's also wearing the same clothing he wore in the Time cover photo, faded jeans and a vintage Space Invaders t-shirt. Halliday is at a high school dance being held in a large gymnasium. He's surrounded by teenagers whose clothing, hairstyles, and dance moves all indicate that the time period is the late 1980s. Careful analysis of this scene reveals that all of the teenagers behind Halliday are actually extras from various John Hughes teen films who have been digitally cut and pasted into the video.
So that was Ready Player One, written by Ernest Cline, narrated by the fantastic Will Wheaton. And you can find that and over 180,000 other titles to choose from. If you head over to bit.ly/ATA2017, you can get a free audiobook. That's bit.ly/ATA2017. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
So our question of the week is, now that Appira's Offline is here, what other long-promised features would you like to see out of BlizzCon this year? Rutter said, me want them new dances, but they already said that it won't be. Invictus75 says, when will the Pathfinder achievement model for earning flight in new X-Packs resemble weeks, not months? 10 months into Warlords of Draenor, 7 months into Legion.
And High Warlord Zoo went full troll mode here. Legacy servers, not to play on, but to enjoy reading all the forum tiers about how everything is too hard. Walking takes too long. I can't find 40 people to raid. I spent 18 weeks in MC and haven't received any loot yet. And yeah, he definitely enjoys following the forums, following Reddit, and he sends links to me and comments, and it warms me up on those cold winter days.
So every day.
Yeah.
We had a couple podcasters that replied to Nick from the WoW Talk podcast, a.k.a. at WookieBH, said, does no more content droughts count as a feature? Yes, it does. That's like the biggest question I want them to answer at BlizzCon, what they're doing between now and the next expansion. And Frazzly from the Frazzlecast says, dance studio, I love the dance emote in WoW.
And Redzian says, I'm not sure it's ever been promised, but I'd like to see the Draenei and Blood Elf starting areas allow flying. This would also allow moving those areas from the Outlands to their respective locations on Kalimdor and the Eastern Kingdoms, but I'm not holding out any hope that they can justify the effort required to do that. And unfortunately, Redzian, I am inclined to agree.
So next week's question is, what questions do you have for the hosts of the show?
Yeah, we kind of wanted to flip the script a little bit, and we're curious to hear from you guys. So throw us some questions, and we're gonna take some time to answer them, because that's one of the great parts about doing something like this, interacting with you guys.
Also, it's great filler before the BlizzCon episode.
I mean,
wasn't this the BlizzCon episode?
Totally not the plan. Totally, absolutely not the plan. Anyways,
always a pleasure.
For someone at least.
Ah.
It's always fun having you on, but
I have a good time being on the show, even if it makes you grumble and stress us like, now I know why I should have him on the first place this year.
Erlina has pointed something out. She's pointed out that this could be dangerous. I would agree. We're going to curate the questions, guys, so...
Yes, we will not...
Put some thought into it.
There are definitely questions that could come in that we will not answer, but please do send us your questions. The better they are, the more likely they are to be heard.
And warlocks versus paladins versus warriors is totally a valid question.
Oh, no, the answer to that is the answer to that is quite clear.
Yeah.
Warriors?
Warlocks. Like, who would win in a fight? Toasty versus Fan. That's... We would have to test that.
That's actually up in the air, I think.
Yeah. And by fight, I mean like a 1v1.
I know who would win in the 1v1 between a Destruction Warlock and the Retribution Paladin.
Well, my Red Paladin's only level 6, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that Red Paladin was played by Medros.
Uh-huh. Sorry, are we talking battle pets, Hearthstone? What game are we talking about here?
No, we're talking hardcore one-on-one PvP in the arena, or, you know, just an outside duel, that's fine, yeah, too.
The old school 1v1 me outside the gates.
Talking a good old-fashioned throwdown. You, me, Black Rook Arena, one-on-one, let's go.
Nah, that's right.
Oh, that's right, Black Rook Arena. I keep forgetting about that place.
It's fun.
No, Frasley, we're not going to catch you outside.
How about that?
All right. So, one small thing to add to this episode.
Oh, really?
And that is, thanks to our friends at Blizzard, and to a person I'm sure wants to remain nameless, for the tip-off, we have something to give away. Now, it's not that we're giving away today, but it will be given away on the last episode before BlizzCon. So on the 29th of October, when we do have our special show. Yeah, it'll be pretty cool, and I'm really excited. So right about this moment... as I'm speaking, and trying to drag it out while things actually happen. We have just made a post on the ATA website and on our Twitter account of a new contest. So the contest is pretty simple. All you have to do is tweet to our Twitter account, which is at AllThingsAs, with the hashtag ATAticket, and tell us what panel you want to watch on the virtual ticket. We will have 4 virtual tickets to give away, and they'll be done by random. But we'd love to hear some really cool, really neat answers to that question. I've said what I would be what I want to watch for sure, which is the Overwatch voice actors panel, because I was in the audience last year to that, and it was a lot of fun. I suspect Toasty will also want to watch it repeatedly.
Because Matt Mercer is a golden god. And if any of you watch Critical Role, you'll know exactly what I'm referencing.
Oh my gosh, that last episode of Critical Role, though.
Well, don't give me... No, I just stopped crying, okay?
But Liam... Okay, Matt Mercer did a great job, but Liam O'Brien did better.
Oh man, he just stabbed me right in the heart with those 3 daggers.
Snowdrops, Toasty, snowdrops.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm okay.
You guys are weird.
We are.
Just saying. Just for the record, you're weird.
Thank you.
I'll be fine.
You sure?
I'm legit tearing up. I'm okay.
All right, then. But yes, so definitely check out our Twitter at AllThingsAs. And please do... Feel free to send us your answers. We will read them all on the show right before BlizzCon. If you are one of our listeners who does not have Twitter, We will also allow you to email that into us to show at allthingsazeroth.com. You can also hop on our Discord. I don't have a shortened link for that, and I don't remember the actual, like, full link for that, but it's on our Twitter if you want to go there. I do understand the irony of that. And you can toss that in our Question of the Week chat, and we can include you there as well. So lots of ways for you to go get us your answers. Only one entry per person, though, so good luck, everyone, and thank you again to Blizzard for giving us those virtual ticket codes.
Did we mention the deadline?
Mentioned it was happening, announcing on the winners on the 29th. The deadline is noon on the 29th in Central Time. So, get us your answers by then, and we'll see if we're saying your name as one of the winners.
I mean, this is a pretty awesome giveaway, just when you consider that this means, if you haven't gotten it already, of course, this means that you would get the Horde and Alliance mounts in World of Warcraft, not to mention all of the other goodies that are being given for all the other Blizzard games and all that stuff. And then there's just BlizzCon itself and all the coverage with it. But even if all you are interested in is WoW stuff, those mounts are awesome. Two-seat mounts, some of the best mounts they've made for the game yet.
And so, the mount special is their cannons going off. I mean,
it's so
how
good.
Awesome is that? I enjoy shooting into my raid every time we're on Kil'jaeden's platform.
I didn't even know that they could do that.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Now I need to go mount my thing.
I definitely don't go out of my way to point myself at junks whenever I do that.
Of course not. That'd be rude.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez, how rude can you be? All right, we do have our shoutouts for Patreon, and as usual, we have two guild shoutouts of sorts, I guess. First one is for Navimi, one of our long-time supporters. Want us to mention her blog. Now, if you haven't been to her blog, you really should. It's a lot of fun to read. It's called The Daily Frostwolf at frostwolves.blogspot.com. Really cool stuff about different areas of the game. And some really cool articles that you will find as very helpful. No matter what class you play, how you play, or what you do in game. So definitely check out The Daily Frostwolf. And we thank Navimi for supporting the show. Toasty, how about you tell us about our second guild shout-out?
So our second guild shout-out is Hardcore Casuals over on Alliance Dalaran server, US. Right now we're looking for healers to hop into our raid group. I don't believe there's a preference. Junks will yell at me otherwise if I'm wrong. But if raiding is not your thing, we're looking for casual people too. I mean, we just want people to hang out with and do stuff with. I mean, that's the whole point of this game. We want to have fun with other people. Hop on over to Dalaran Alliance side and don't tell Seraphis that I'm telling you this, because he'll get mad at me. and join him in the fun.
Wait, so you're actually supposed to play with people in this game?
I mean, it makes it a lot more fun, I think. For me, a week just wouldn't be the same without giving people like Junks and Fandeth a hard time. Mostly Junks.
I'm totally behind giving Fandeth a hard time.
Well, I mean, every Tuesday that we raid, somebody goes and puts the feast way above my gnome's head so I can't reach it.
I don't see a problem here.
Okay, so for anybody who hasn't done it before, for the fight on Goroth, you can get the feast up real high. Like, I'm talking, I use the World Shrinker, and I can stand underneath it as a Draenei, and I don't come close to it. It's just not a proper knight in Tomb of Sargeras if we don't do that. I'm sorry, fan.
Again, I don't see the problem here. Probably just me, though. Probably just me. And I think that's about it. I think this is the shortest show we've had a row on in a long time. We need to like just chat for a while and just like
not even hitting 2 hours yet. We're
We're at an hour 45.
Longest show we've had in a year.
It is not. We did like an hour and 46 the other day. All right. Who wants to do a... okay, first off, who wants to do the outro?
I will.
All right.
Well, I'm going to hijack the outro because it feels good to do that again.
Well, right. As our first guest in a fairly long time, Ro, tell us how people can contact you, where they can find you, and so on.
Oh, sure. You can find me on Twitter. It's usually best way to find me, at Rowow, R-H-O-W-O-W. I also do two different podcasts. The WoW podcast I do is called The Rolling Restart. You can find that on Twitter at RestartCast. Check that out on your podcast app of choice. And if you're interested in not just World of Warcraft podcasts, but podcasts for all of Blizzard's games, check out Realm Maintenance at realm-maintenance.com or follow on Twitter at Realm Podcast, and might just introduce you to some shows that you have not been listening to lately.
Cool.
And as for this show, if you'd like to reach All Things Azeroth by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Our Twitter is at allthingsaz. You can also follow Medros at Medros, Fandeth at Fandeth, that's P-H-A-N-D-E-T-H, Toasty at Toasty Posty Can, and of course, as always, follow Dawn Forge Productions at Dawn Forge. Please do check out the other shows from Dawn Forge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
All right, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the Canadian dollar, I guess. I don't know.
BlizzCon hype!
Well...
on the other side of the letter Z. Z.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dawn Forge Productions, copyright 2017. Find us online at thedawnforge.com.